Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. We welcome you back to CUTV News Radio. We also welcome back Dr. Paul Pierce today. We're in the midst of a series of broadcasts with Dr. Pierce. He's an amazing, amazing gentleman. He's a PhD doctor. and he's the president and the founder of Texas-based Nova Biologicals. His company, which he founded, had the foresight to enter the public water testing market way back in 1993 to test water contaminants, obviously, for cities and for companies and areas of that nature. And through the years, his company has continually expanded its ability to test water supplies, in addition to many other things. I mean, they test the laboratory testing services from medical testing supplies to ensuring that new pharmaceuticals pass the FDA and QA requirements. They examine food manufacturing facilities. They test so many different things. It's really amazing. But water has been the thing that started them, and it is still one of the key elements that this laboratory tests. They didn't lose sight of their core capacity to test water for contaminants and chemicals such as chlorine, lead, petrochemical, manufacturing remnants, mercury, nitrates, and pesticides. There's a whole list of things that get tested by this laboratory when water samples are sent to them from cities, from companies, from all kinds of sources. Even individuals who have wells, water wells in their backyard, are encouraged to send their water in and have it tested. Because if they don't get it tested, nobody's testing their water supply if it's coming from a well out in their backyard, as you may well know. Examining for water supply for substances can trigger disease in humans also has been a mission since the laboratory began doing this. So it's really very important what they do. It's one of the key things that they do. And in the beginning, they were testing about 50 water samples, in the very beginning. Last January, statistics indicated that 11,000 samples had been examined just this past year by Nova Biological, which is headquartered in Conroe, Texas. It's north of Houston. Anyway, Dr. Pierce is a remarkable gentleman. He's very, very learned on this subject, and it's a pleasure to have him with us to talk to us about what that lab does and how important their mission is, especially when it comes to testing water. And again, that's just one of the things they test. But let's welcome him back. Dr. Pierce, welcome back to CUTV News Radio. Nice to have you with us, Paul. How are you today?
Well, it's great to be here, Doug. I really appreciate this, and nice talking with you today and sharing some information about water, water testing, water quality, and I always look forward to these opportunities to help inform your listeners and provide them with some information that may help them understand water-related issues and to help them live a happier and healthier life. So I'm really pleased to be here today.
That's good. Let me mention something. You talked about this before. You mentioned it to me. I haven't talked about this in great length with you. I know you're doing a whole series of broadcasts. This is covering a series of 12 weeks, and you're doing this on these Tuesdays at this same time here at 1 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. When people who live in a community, most all communities send out an annual report from their water testing, not department, but it's a division of the government of the local community that's responsible for sending out a report from the water testing facility they have to tell them how the water in their community is. It's pretty standard nationwide that I guess governments, local governments, do that. Am I right?
Yes, that's correct. There is a requirement that each public water system publish annually each year. They must publish and distribute to their stakeholders, to their residents, community, what's known as a consumer Confidence Report. And that CCR, or that Consumer Confidence Report, is a annual drinking water quality report. Most of us get it in the mail. We receive that report in the mail, and it has all sorts of data and test results related to the quality of the water that we are buying from or we're receiving from the public water system in our neighborhood or in our town, in our city. So that is a requirement now. It's an Environmental Protection Agency drinking water requirements. And so it's very important that people look at those and just be aware. It's an issue. Water quality can be a real issue, and everybody needs to be aware of their community's water quality so that they can ask their city leaders to do what's necessary to ensure good, safe drinking water now and for the long term.
Well, my question really comes down to the fact, do you think most people can understand what it is they're reading when they get that report? I mean, I remember looking at mine, and it gets pretty technical. In some regards, it helps to be, you know, a learned scientist like you are to be able to understand what that report is explaining to you. Help me a little bit about what the some of the terminologies that are used, and what people should be looking for when they get that report. Because if you don't know anything about water supply and testing, it's tough to understand. Am I right there? I think I am.
Yes, it is, and it's important that people look at it and then look at the report and kind of break it down. And I answer a lot of questions about the consumer confidence reports, but to take a look at it and look at it from the standpoint of the types of contaminants that might have been found in their drinking water. So, for example, the CCR will have a report on the amount of lead or the amount of copper and the amount of copper that's in the drinking water. Those are both metals, and there are certain limits that drinking water cannot exceed. If that limit is exceeded, if those limits are exceeded, then the public water system needs to take measures to reduce those levels to acceptable levels. So, for example, copper level, if it's above 1.3, then 1.3 parts per million, then something needs to be done, needs to correct it. Same thing with lead. If it's above 15 parts per billion, then something needs to be done to correct that. So that's part of it, of the CCR. There are what's called inorganics. So you have the metals, you have inorganic chemicals like barium and fluoride and nitrogen compounds that can create health problems if those values are elevated, if there's an elevated amount of those inorganic contaminants. The one that most people are interested in.
I want to put, that's the whole point. Most people, when they read this, if they see what the level of copper is, number one, most people don't know they have copper in their water supply. They don't know they have lead in their water supply. I think most people assume their water is pretty damn clear and pure when it comes out of the faucet. But if the copper level is a little too high, what happens? What does that do to them?
Well, it can cause gastrointestinal stomach problems. It can cause gastric distress. It can build up in the system. It's a metal. It can build up in your body's system to unacceptable levels, and it makes you sick. So elevated copper can be toxic when it gets above a certain level in your bloodstream or in your body. And that illness is can be prevented. And that's the whole point of these CCRs, is to make people aware that if they have elevated levels, then they need to seek medical attention, but more importantly, they need to have a conversation with their city representatives or community representatives to determine a way to get those copper levels down. Now,
let me ask you another question. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you another question. Is there any way the individual can tell whether the copper level is too high in his water? I mean, is it something you can see? Is it something you can smell? Is it something you can taste or not?
No. Sometimes you can taste it if it's really high, but most of the time it's non-detectable. You can't detect it by looking at it or smelling it or tasting it. It doesn't generally affect the color of the water unless this is something that I think people would find interesting, because we get this question quite a lot, is why is my water blue? And sometimes people's water will be blue because copper, blue-green copper compounds will come through the plumbing system, and they'll have green water or blue-green water, and that's a result of copper pipes disintegrating, breaking down. And so in that case, you can see it. So if you have green water, blue-green water, it's probably you probably have an elevated level of copper. But most of the you cannot find it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the pipes. You know, in general, cities and towns have their water pipes that have been in the ground for a long time. And I'm thinking, for example, New York City. They rave about and claim their water is so pure, and yet those water pipes have been down under this Manhattan for years. I mean, we're talking 50, 60, 80, 100 years. Is there ever a point where those pipes begin to contaminate the water? Stuff is, you know, breaking off of the pipes, and consequently, the water is really not as pure as you think it is?
Yes, that can occur over time, and this is the reason that over time the water can actually etch. It can actually eat copper pipes and metal pipes, and can cause the leaching of those chemicals into the water. That's the reason the water treatment process is so important in municipalities, because, for example, if the pH of the water is very, very low or acidic, well, you have acid water, and acid water, well, we know what acid does to metal. It erodes it. It damages it, and then those chemicals that are in the pipe itself end up in the water stream. So it does happen over time. Old pipes can disintegrate, and you know, there's great conversation in the U.S. now about infrastructure rebuild and how are we going to accommodate the need for improved water delivery systems and sewage treatment systems and highways and those types of things, because the infrastructure is old. And so we have to be very aware of that. And that's part of the reason for the CCR, is to make people aware of the quality that they have now and then be able to track it over time and say, well, you know, this is an old part of town and it needs some a makeover. It needs some corrective actions taken or repairs done to improve the water in that particular, that older neighborhood of a particular town. So that's part of the rationale or the reasoning that the EPA implemented the CCR reporting process. So it's an important thing. And we as individuals, and this is something that I really like to encourage people to do, we as individuals have that responsibility for seeing what we're buying and what we're getting as public drinking water. And that CCR report helps us do that. So, and of course, they can have their water tested on their own, but the municipality is already testing it, and the testing is done by a certified laboratory. And so it's good information for them and something that they need to keep up with.
In general, how often is water in a community being tested? My assumption, I've always thought this, that there are people at the water plant testing that water every day as it's going out from the reservoir or wherever it's coming from, heading out into the pipes to the, you know, community, to the homes and businesses, et cetera. I assume that that's being checked kind of on a continual basis. Am I right about that, or is that not generally true?
Well, it's true in that it is tested for disinfectant levels. In other words, the chlorine levels or whatever disinfectant a particular city or municipality may be using, they're testing for the disinfection quality of the water, making sure that the chlorine level is high enough and will kill any harmful bacteria. But that's about all that's being done on a daily basis. Sometimes they're testing pH every day. But these extensive tests, like the results that show up in the Consumer Confidence Report, that's only done once a year. So the chlorine levels, the disinfectant levels are checked daily and sometimes more than that, just to make sure that the chlorine residual is high enough. But that's about all that's tested on a daily or more often rate. So,
you mentioned pH. I bet you the majority of people, if you took a survey and asked them what the pH does to water, what it means, would not be able to tell you or explain to you what pH is. There might be those who have some fish tanks fish ponds in their property who understand that if the pH changes a certain degree, it can affect the life of the fish in the pond. But most people really, I don't think, understand what pH is. Explain that to me. What is pH and what does it do? And why is it important to keep tabs on it?
Sure. That's a great question because it is a basic test and it's one of those characteristics of water that is always present. All water has some pH. And the pH is the measure of acidity or alkalinity, how acid it is or how alkaline it is. Neutral pH is a pH of 7.0. So that is just neutral. It's not acid. It's not alkaline. It's just a neutral pH. Now, when the pH drops to below 7, it becomes more acid. And the more acid it is, like a pH of 6 or a 5 or a 4, those pH levels are very acidic and can create problems for the plumbing system, for the distribution system of the water. Then on the other hand, you have alkaline water with pH above 7, and it can be up, for example, the body's pH, our body pH is about 7.2, and sometimes water pH can be up around 9, can be 8, pH of 8, pH of 9. So that alkaline water can also be corrosive because that can create a chemical reaction within the plumbing system itself, and it begins to deteriorate or to erode the quality of the plumbing system itself. So pH is a measure of acidity, of alkalinity. A normal, a nominal pH or a normal pH or a neutral pH is 7.0. Anything below 7 would be considered to be somewhat acid. Anything above 7 would be considered to be alkaline or basic. Sometimes that term is used. I give you a good example. Drain cleaners are very alkaline. They're very corrosive. People who have used them in metal pipes know that if you use them for 5 or 6 years in a row, that drain cleaner will erode your pipes. You'll have a damaged drain pipe because of the alkalinity and the very high alkalinity and corrosiveness of the drain cleaner. Same thing applies if it's very acid. If you pour too much acid down the drain, then that can also, as they say, eat up your pipes.
Sounds like we're having a science lesson here. It's very interesting, but it's very important. It helps to know. Let me ask you a little bit about how water events, and you've talked about this, even global warming, how things like that, hurricanes, major storms when they hit a community and gobs and gobs of water coming down in an hour. Maybe they get 4, 5, 6 inches in an hour of rainwater belting down on the community. How do events like that, that would be a water event, affect the water supply? And do they, or does it not really have much an effect? How would you answer that?
Well, you know, again, that is a great question because everybody is concerned about that. The issues with global warming, the issues with climate change, those are very important issues, and we need to be aware of what the potential effect is when things change, when there is global warming, or when there is a catastrophic rain event or a hurricane or just an abnormal rainfall. And all of those issues, all of those dramatic weather issues can affect water quality. There's not any standard way or generalized way that a weather event affects every single measure of water quality. In other words, you know, a hurricane may or may not affect certain areas and may or may not affect the quality of the water, but it certainly can. And probably the best example I can give you is that, you know, last year when Hurricane Harvey came through Southeast Texas and just dumped millions of gallons of water on our area, it flooded, and that flooding contaminated wells, it contaminated surface water treatment plants. We had sewage treatment plants that were overflowing. And so when these catastrophic events occur, then water quality can certainly be affected, because you can see that if a sewage treatment plant overflows and that overflow goes over a water well, well, that water well is going to be contaminated also. And so when you have heavy rainfall, you have to be very conscious about the fact that the water well or the drinking water could be contaminated. So it's very important to not drink potentially contaminated water, because that's where we get into the issue with E. coli in the drinking water, or Vibrio, another type of bacteria in the drinking water, or parasites in the drinking water. So that's the reason that after these heavy rainfalls, we have to be very cautious about the water quality that we're using. Another interesting thing, too, that is on the minds of a lot of people is, well, what happens when the ice cap in the Arctic or Antarctic melt? Well, what happens? And what's going to happen? And those kinds of things are obviously very hard to predict and very hard to fully understand. But many times the, you know, sea level can the water warms up, so the water expands. Sea level can go up, and areas that are low lying that are on the coast of certain of countries, those can be flooded with seawater, which can in turn contaminate the drinking water. And so those are issues that we're having to evaluate and having to address and having to follow in the event that our groundwater, our drinking water, is contaminated with the seawater. And so that brings a whole host of other issues with the type of bacteria that are coming from seawater and that are picked up in the estuaries or in the low-lying areas. So the climate change is something that we're just, as scientists, we're just going to have to monitor and keep track of over the next few years, and just be aware that that it can create problems with our drinking water, with the water quality. You know, even to the point that.
I had a question I wanted to ask you. You're talking about the polar ice caps, you know, melting. How pure do you think the water, and I have a reason for asking this question, in those polar ice caps really is? Because I remember years ago, it's probably 20 years ago, someone started to market what they claimed was the purest ice on the planet, and it was from the polar ice caps. that they had chiseled ice from the polar ice caps, kept it frozen, and were sending it in bags to your neighborhood supermarket for you to buy. And you were buying ice that was 1,000 years old. So the question is, how pure do you think that is, that water in those polar ice caps, the ice?
Oh, boy, that's a tough question. I'm telling you. It's there's some remarkable physics going on the polar ice caps. And some of that water in the ice cap is very pure. I mean, it is pure water. Some of it is not. Some of it is very brackish. In other words, it's water that has seawater in it, that has salt in it. So it's not so pure from a drinking water standpoint, but there's certain parts of it. And in the process of freezing and refreezing, there's certain parts of that polar ice cap where the ice is quite pure, very pure. It's pure water. But I'd be very careful about that, because you don't know which part they really chipped off to put in that bag. So.
And I'm also prompted to ask you, do you think water like water from Fiji, which is obviously it's a very popular drinking water, you can find that in your supermarket, it's very expensive, but they claim it's the purest water you can get, water from Fiji, the island of Fiji. Would you assume that would be extremely pure water because it came from Fiji? What would your estimate be on that?
Well, my estimate would be that whether it comes from Fiji or not, there is water that is produced by nature that is filtered and refiltered through rocks, through sand, through organic material, and in this process of being filtered and refiltered, it becomes very pure. Now,
right.
You know, there's a spring where I grew up in Central Texas. There was a spring up there. We called it the Lion's Mouth, and you could drink out of it. It was cold, and nobody ever got sick, and it was pure water. But is the Waco spring any better than Fiji water? I don't know. You know, you just have to look at the test results and say, okay, you know, it's good quality water. There's no elevated levels of chemicals in it. There's no harmful bacteria in it. So it's a suitable drinking water. A lot of that is marketing. You know, I like to say, show me the data. The data rules, and the data is what you have to rely on. But
it's very interesting what you're pointing at. This whole subject of water, the purity of water that you drink and what comes out of your faucet and what you get in a bottle that you buy in a supermarket, it's amazing. It's when you really sit down to think about it, it's an amazing subject to talk about. And I love talking about it with you because you're an expert on this arena. Again, our guest has been Dr. Paul Pierce. He's the president and the founder of Texas-based Nova Biologicals, a company that's been in the business testing water and many other things since back in 1993. He knows what he's talking about. Dr. Pierce, I wish we had more time. I love talking with you. This is, you know, we're posing some unique questions, but they're interesting, and we get people thinking about the quality of the water and what they're drinking. So I think it's an important thing we're doing, you know?
It is.
Anyway, we're out of time, Doctor. We'll do this again next week, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
All righty. Okay.
Very good.
All right. That's Dr. Paul Pierce. He's, by the way, he's in Conroe, Texas. It's near Houston, and he is a master when it comes to purity in things like medicines, water, and a lot of other substances. So it's great to have him as our guest, and we appreciate it. Well, we're supposed to have an announcer here, but he's late, so I don't know what happened to him. I think he took a break. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We thank you very much for being with us today, everybody. I look forward to us again next week when Dr. Pierce will be back. There's the announcer. He came back in, but he's late, so I'm going to turn his microphone off and just say we've run out of time for this edition. Close Up Talk Radio, everybody. See you next time. Until then, take care of yourself and have a great day indeed. Bye for now.
For listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope.